Okay, the 23rd Psalm is where we have been for the past couple of weeks. And we are going to continue by answering the final question in the lesson. But I wanted to remind you, everyone is familiar with the text of the 23rd Psalm. The four points that we made is that David, as he was in the midst of great duress and difficulties in his life, looked to Jehovah for protection and comfort. We made four points concerning this imagery of God as his shepherd. The first one is that he supplies our sustenance. The second, that he supplies our direction. Thirdly, he supplies companionship. And fourth, that he supplies protection. And we made the point that in the same way in the Christian's life, Jesus, being the bread of life, the way to heaven, companion and supplier of needs in our lives, as well as our protector, that the same thing can be said, and in fact the same imagery is used concerning Jesus as being a shepherd, the good shepherd, with regard to our lives as well. So we can have that same confidence that David had and he expressed in the 23rd Psalm. The first three questions that we discussed, or excuse me, the first two questions that we discussed, why is it accurate to describe Christians as sheep? We, I think, emphasize primarily the need for direction as well as the vulnerabilities that we have as sheep. And so we I think, covered that fairly well. The second question was, how can we explain to others why Jesus is exclusively the way to heaven? And we sought to emphasize, we almost ran out of time, but there's no reason to re-discuss it unless someone wants to add something to it. But the emphasis that we made in our answer to that question lies in the unique nature of Jesus as the only begotten of the Father. The fact that he is God incarnate, God with us, as the book of Matthew reveals to us. And the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross at Calvary supplied the sacrifice that was necessary to appease God's wrath and to bring man into reconciliation. And because of who he is and because of what he accomplished, no one else has or can fit the bill to rightly be able to claim, I am the way, truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, just as Jesus did. So what we need to emphasize when we contrast Jesus with the other leaders of the various religions is that he is not merely man. He is both man and God. And as we emphasize the nature of sin, what is required for God to be reconciled to man because of sin, then we find that uniquely Jesus is capable of filling that void and accomplishing that for us. No other individual has the qualifications. No other individual has accomplished what Jesus has accomplished in that regard. So he exclusively has the ability to sustain us, to direct us, and to protect us, and ultimately give us the victory. So, the third question is one we wanted to answer this evening and then get into the 14th lesson. Does anyone have anything they want to add to lesson two? I promised at the end of our time last time that I would give anyone an opportunity if they wanted to add anything to our answer on question two. Okay, if not, then the third question in the series goes back to the concept of shepherds with the realization that elders in the local church are referred to as shepherds as well. And so while we cannot give, I think, full application to the principles that we've discussed, it is a fact that the elders of a congregation are to act as shepherds. And we alluded to the fact that there is a distinction between the good shepherd and the hireling. And as we discussed that, you'll remember we talked about the inadequacies of the hireling and the reason why the hireling is not as the good shepherd who loves his sheep. So my question was, how can shepherds of a local congregation be guilty of acting as a hireling instead of a good or proper shepherd? What are some of the mistakes? What are some of the inadequacies? What are some of the problems that may arise to lead to that? Yes, Jerry?
They ignore the needs of the flock.
Okay. Okay, so one of the primary points to be made in that is that as a shepherd cares for the needs of the flock. And so if you have one who is serving as overseer and he's not showing the proper concern for the welfare of the sheep and seeking their welfare, then that would be an example. Okay, so that's a good one. That's one of the ones that I have as well. Anybody else want to add anything to that? Yes, Dick?
Used to happen years to eat because going on the Titus and oh, I better review Wednesday night lesson. And that's the last question of the three. Well, here it is in Titus. Titus, of course, it'd be the opposite of he says, you know, you talk about a bishop being blameless and such. And so that would be one that is self-willed and is quick-tempered and violent and greedy for money. He's the opposite of what an elder should be. And so it just so happened that I was doing this yesterday evening that I went, when I went back to see what the book was studying that night, and having been self-controlled
That's a good point. Good. For those who couldn't hear Dick, he made note of the qualifications that are found both in 1 Timothy and where he was studying, and that is the Paul's epistle to Titus, that there is a list that is given in both places of the qualifications of elders. And, you know, for example, not being greedy for filthy lucre or money, not being self-willed, not being quick to anger. And so if you take the opposite of those, if an individual loses his temper, if he's in it for the money, if he's, you know, those kinds of things, the opposite of the actual qualifications, especially as they talk about interaction between elders and members, that would certainly, there would be a number of points that could be made from those two epistles and those qualifications that list given there. So that's very good as well. And in fact, most of what I've talked about is along those lines in my answer. Let me just give you a couple of others that I've thought of, and then anyone can add to it or we can discuss it. I think that sometimes some men have served as elders in order to further an agenda other than the welfare of the congregation. And you see this sometimes. I can give you an example of an institutional church in Midland, Texas, a very large church. And I talked with an individual who had been a member there for some time. He had finally left because he was disgusted at the practice of the elders and prominent members of the congregation doing business deals in the lobby of the church. And this is one of those times when a Church of Christ happened to be a place where influential people in the community had their membership and attended, and so there were business deals going on, and he saw the correlation between the business leaders being the elders, so that's kind of the thing we might be talking about. Whether it be good for business or an individual, an elder lacks the prestige or lacks the power. First Peter, the fifth chapter, you'll remember that elders, when they serve, are not to lord it over the flock, but rather serve by example. So that kind of that type of action would be something, and that kind of idea is selfish, selfishness, being self-willed rather than being selfless. Certainly, it's in other words, I'm going to serve to get what I want, or because I want the ability to be the decider or make decisions, rather than being selfless, which is using the principles that are found in God's Word and my wisdom and discernment. I help to benefit and to grow and to mature and to teach and to guide the flock. which is a selfless thing because I'm concerned about their welfare rather than my own in that regard. A couple of others that I thought about is that it's possible for this idea of a hireling as being an individual who doesn't have that proper care and concern, that hirelings, you take this example, let's make a distinction between someone who owns a business and someone who's simply a wage earner in a business. If the owner expects or requires certain things of the wage earner and he considers them somewhat unfair, then there is that possibility of resentfulness, of chafing at perhaps a particular cost of time or energy or attention, not wanting the responsibilities, shirking those responsibilities, becoming resentful of the what can be an arduous office. It can be difficult to serve as an elder. It's not an easy work. And so sometimes those kinds of things can come up. And so that would be characteristic of someone who is a hireling rather than an individual who has the proper motives and demeanor to serve as an elder in the church. Yes?
Well, I just want to give you an example of some of the things you're talking about. The Gregory, where I grew up, eldership there, and after I was gone at the time, when the church split over the institutionalism, but one of the elders in Gregory, which was a very small town church, was right at the edge of town. After they split and the church remained, they decided that they should quit supporting the institutions. The elder that had the local dry goods store in the Gregory community, he remained there, and then they found out that he was sending money out of his own pocket to Bold's home in the name of the Gregory Church of Christ. And when they confronted him about it, well, he resigned and left and went with the institutional brother. So, just there that his being an elder was not the most important thing as far as the church was concerned. It was for his own benefit.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Anybody else? All right. Well, then that means we have completed our study of the 13th lesson.